I'm Mark Dugan for KSUT. Craig Childs is from Arizona, but now lives in Colorado. His resume includes time pumping gas, bottling beer, and guiding tourists through the wilderness. But he's primarily a writer. His most notable books include House of Rain, Uncommon Encounters with Animals in the Wild, and his latest, Apocalyptic Planet, Field Guide to the Planet Earth. Craig Childs appears at Fort Lewis College next Wednesday and Thursday as part of their Common Reading Experience program, and we're pleased to have him join us in the studio today. Thanks, Craig.
Sure thing, Mark.
So what led you to write a book about the apocalypse?
I've always thought about landscape in a sense of time. And I think especially out here where everything is exposed, where the rock formations are out on the surface, you're not necessarily looking at a place for the moment that you're in it. You're looking at it for this longer moment of tens of thousands of years with human remains, petroglyphs and spear points, but then you're also looking at it in millions of years, or even billions, depending on how deeply the Earth is cut. So you're seeing time exposed in front of you, and you're also seeing so many changes when you look at geology. You're seeing environmental changes over time. You're seeing extinctions, and it's always led me to this notion of how the world ends. And so I wanted to write a book that took this apart, that looked at apocalypse from a scientific experience, a scientific perspective, but also looking at it from a very personal on the ground perspective of what does it mean to live on a planet that changes as much as this one does, but then also seems so stable. And I kind of wanted to break apart the idea of apocalypse and say, well, this is actually how the world has ended in the past. And here's how it's probably going to end in the future, because it just keeps ending.
How did you decide what areas of the Earth to focus on? Was it just a matter of finding places experiencing extreme change?
Yeah, so I looked around the world for different environments or different events that could say this is what it'll look like in the future. And I'm looking for epic landscapes. I'm looking for places that bear certain physical characteristics in a way that just surround you, like the Atacama Desert in South America, where I'm looking at the driest non-polar landscape in the world, to talk about how far could deserts go? What does it look like when you lose almost all rainfall? You know, for me, of course, it's beautiful to be in a place like this. I love these stark, almost violent landscapes in ways, like a lava landscape where you're seeing a forest disappear underneath molten rock. I have an eye for these kinds of landscapes. I look for places that just compel you. You just look at it and you can feel it in your cells. And I guess these are apocalyptic landscapes, but to me, they are also dramatically beautiful.
Well, for a book about how the Earth comes to an end, it's remarkably optimistic. You see plenty of cause for hope.
It is an optimistic book, and that's what I hear from readers, is that they're afraid of going into it because they don't want to be brought down into the depths of apocalypse, but then the purpose of the book is to redefine apocalypse and show planetary resilience and how things are driven by change, how cultures and species and climates aren't just destroyed by change, they're also recreated, remade. I'm wanting readers to come away with a greater understanding of the world that they're in, that we don't live on a stable planet. You do have extinctions and sea level rise that changes a coastline. You do have environmental degradation, but you also have species rising at the same time. So I'm wanting to give this sense of a flourishing planet, that even in difficult times, there still is life, there still is resilience. And that I think is the bigger theme of this book.
We're talking with Craig Childs about his latest book, Apocalyptic Planet, Field Guide to the Planet Earth. Craig, you've studied and written a lot about prehistory and archaeology, so how did it influence this book? Do you see parallels between what happened to earlier peoples and what may happen to us someday?
Quite a bit. In this book, I was looking specifically at Phoenix, Arizona, and the Hohokam civilization that is underneath the modern city, and looking at how that that canal-based civilization from 1,000 years ago rose and fell before Phoenix ever existed. And it's interesting to look at the parallels, because the city of Phoenix right now is laid on top of a pre-Columbian blueprint. The city that was there, or the settlements that were there in pre-Columbian times, were based on canal systems coming off the Salt River, and they're almost identical to the canal systems that were built in the last 100 years for modern Phoenix. And so I'm looking at comparisons where they were struck by drought, overpopulation, social disarray, and then I go to our own system and I say, okay, well, how sensitive is Phoenix now? Trying to understand what kind of trouble we're in, what kind of resilience we have, how to make this thing work, how it could fall apart. So yeah, there are a lot of parallels between the past and the present.
So you're scheduled to deliver an address at Fort Lewis College February 8th, and you'll be speaking to a mostly young and probably quite idealistic group of college students. So what do you say to them in early 2017? What will you be telling them about why there's still such cause for optimism?
I think there's a lot of cause for optimism. When I look at these huge global problems that we're up against, when we're looking at the degree of climate change that we're seeing now and degrees of climate change in the past, you could say there's nothing I can do. But I guess what I pulled out of this book was that all changes affect the bigger picture, that everything we do moves it along. So I think this is a prime time to be around. Every small budge will change the direction of climates, politics, society. My message is going to be, this is time to act. This is not time to hole up and fear for the future. This is time to make the future. This is the moment. So I'm actually very optimistic. I know there's a lot of bad news out there, but I've spent time in places where I see the good news, where I see life coming through, and I think there's amazing potential.
That's author Craig Childs, interviewed last week. Childs presents a keynote address at the Community Concert Hall at Fort Lewis College next Wednesday evening at 7. Learn more and hear this interview again at ksut.org. I'm Mark Dugan.